Amen. Is that yours? Man, I can't keep up with all this. Thankful I have a Bible. Couldn't imagine pastoring. Couldn't imagine just counseling, talking to people without a Bible. If you've ever been in my office and we've just had conversations, I'm a mouse. What do you call it? Mouse, right? I'm just a mouse away from a verse. Because there's a lot of verses that bounce around in his head. And I am very sympathetic of Eve. Why do I say that? I do not believe she had bad intentions. I believe she had very good intentions. Cody always used to say to me, the thing that really catches me off guard, Dad, is animals, what am I going to say? Animals must have talked back then, because she wasn't surprised that the serpent was talking to her. That would have scared me enough, you know. Forget it if I watched, what was his name? The original Dr. Doolittle, not the one that's corrupted y'all's mind. We watched the real, Miss Paula, amen, the real guy. What was his name? You don't. Oh, my goodness, John. No. I can't think of his name. Anyways. Huh? No, that. We're in two different time zones, John. You're younger than me. I'm not in their time zone, but they knew who I'm talking about. I'm trying to remember that guy's name. Norm, you remember the original? Miss Miller, do you remember the original? Y'all don't remember that? Man, y'all are going to be Googling that. Anyways, I think she had good intentions. Yes, Rex Harrison. You need to watch that. It's a very good one. And thank you, Google. But I think she had good intentions. But what happened was he just had a conversation with her, and he's more subtle than any. And he just said to her, "Hath not God said?" He just challenged, very simply challenged, such small intricacies to that. I said the other day when I was thinking of a verse, "Let love be without dissimulation." And then I didn't know all of it, and then I read it, and I said, okay, I want to make sure, and then I put it in context. And then I just chewed on it all night long and into the morning because, you know, if God does that, if he can speak to Samuel and Samuel then go on to be a man that not a word he spoke fell to the ground, then we need to be very cautious of that. So, studied all week. I had all the stuff for the next one, which is the T, two offices. What are the two offices? Pastor and deacon. We say pastor. We would be more scriptural if we said bishop. So after we get done with that study, you shall address me as Bishop M.F. Lovett. Okay? Bishop M.F. Lovett, to be scriptural. All right? But I was just sitting in my office, and I got to thinking about a lot of things, and I am a big fan of 1 Peter, Peter in general. My pastor said to me many years ago, said to the preachers in the church, he said, no preacher in the church will preach from this pulpit again until they memorize 1 Peter 5. And so the next time he asked me to preach, I preached chapel for the college, and I got up there and I said, well, pastor, I'm going to follow your orders, and I'm going to obey that. And then I quoted the whole chapter of 1 Peter 5, and he said, well, I didn't realize you were going to take me that serious, you know. And I said, no, you said it, and I'm going to do it. And there's a lot to be said there. And so I want to eventually land there. I'm going to pause the series tonight on building blocks. And I just want to share something that the Lord laid on my heart. I want to be sensitive. I want to be sensitive to, I thought, and, you know, I asked Matt Sunday, and I thought, man, I just chewed on what he had to say Saturday in the deacon's meeting. Matt, that just stuck with me. And then not only that, the message lined up with your motives. And when the motives and the message line up together, it can move on people. And so I thought, man, I don't want to just keep that to myself. I think it would be good to share that with the rest of the congregation. I'm glad I was sensitive. If we can be sensitive to the Spirit and an Ellie get saved, we can grieve the Spirit and not be able to move forward. keep that in mind. And so I think it was good that that happened. I don't always want to stick to the three hymns, the special, pastor preaches a message, an hour and 15 minutes, and we go home. Sometimes I want to shake that up a little bit. So I want to do that tonight, 1 Peter. I want to read a couple verses of Scripture, give you a thought, and then just that's what I have tonight. Okay? That's all I have tonight. I got 1,000 things on my iPad. I scrolled through messages. I scrolled through thoughts. And I just want to give you that. Matt did it, and somebody got saved. I might be able to do it tonight, and we have revival. All right? 1 Peter 1. Read a few verses of Scripture, and then give you my thought. The Bible says, Peter and what? An apostle. Canon of Scripture. Get used to seeing those things. Why is Peter in the canon? Because he was an apostle. And the early believers in Acts did what? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I struggle sometimes. There's nothing, I think Peter alludes to it in the fact that, you know, we did not share or tell you whatever it was, cunningly devised fables. But we were witnesses of this glory. And he was saying, we have a more sure word of prophecy. I think that's he's alluding to the fact that he knew he was writing Scripture. You know, I wonder sometimes, did they know? I mean, when they were writing that, did they know they were really, that was going to be Scripture, that was going to be passed from church to church to church, and they were going to, you know, read that. They were going to heed that. It was, hey, this is what the apostles wrote. We're going to continue steadfastly in that doctrine. And so here we have it. Peter is an apostle, and he begins to write, and here's who he writes to. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He said, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And who better to tell us about that than Peter when Jesus said, have you any meat? Because he left that hope. And then Jesus pulled him back in and sat down and said to him, lovest thou me? And he said, yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do something with this thing. This message needs to get out. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept, remember this, you don't keep yourself, he keeps you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It's just tough living in the world. It's just tough living in the world. If you don't have somebody to help you, it's going to be even tougher. Verse 7, then he said this, comes off of verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I could keep going, and I don't want to just read 1 Peter later on. I just want to keep moving aside. And then he gets into chapter 2, and he tells us where to, you know, basically lay aside evil. He says, wherefore, laying aside, he's saying this is a difficult journey. And it's a trying of your faith because it goes against, we're swimming upstream. I don't know if we realize this tonight. You're swimming upstream. There are believers tonight that don't assemble. They've just fell with the current. But I'm a Christian. We swim upstream. We're pressing on what? The upward way, new heights we're gaining every day. Not every year, every day. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. It is of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. His mercies, I butchered that. You understand what I'm saying? They're new every morning. You're going to have a box waiting for you. Why? Because of the trial of your faith. It's more precious. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be Ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming is unto a lively stone, a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He said, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And we dealt with that the last time we were together. And they are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And watch that. That ties in with Romans chapter 12. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're priests. We care for the temple and we make sacrifices. And one of those sacrifices is ourself. Others, Lord. Yes, others. And you keep going. And then it talks about submission to rulers. There's so much stuff. And he's articulating to us things that we need to do as Christians to live in this world that we're in, because it's a fiery trial. And there's going to be things that take place. There's going to be things that transpire in our life, and we have to be very careful of them. You come all the way down to chapter 3 and verse 8, and I don't want to read the whole book. You come down to verse 8 of chapter 3, and it says, finally, after he's given all these, some would call them rules. I say they're just good fence posts. They protect you. He says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one another. You know why Wednesday night prayer meeting is important? Gets us all on the same sheet of music. You start hearing, oh my goodness. You know, I don't know if anybody, I'll be honest with you. I was making fun of Douglas. Was I not? I was at the Lovett House. You come to Lovett House, you are offered up on the sacrifice of humor. And I was just sitting there, and I looked over and he's out, man. And I looked at Lisa and I went, rough day. I mean, I'm getting maybe, I don't know how many hours of sleep, Mom. And I'm just kind of, and we worked. We did projects in the, you know, you did projects. I watched. And I helped. Did I help, Douglas? More than you should have. Okay, I like that. I like that right there. Say that louder. More than I should have. I like that. And then I thought, man, we come in and he's out. And I kind of joked around about it a bit. I did not know he was the level of a diabetic that he was. And the next thing you know, he's out. We're dumping candy down him. We're doing all this kind of stuff. And I thought, wow. But how many of you in here knew that of him? Okay, a handful of people. Handful of people. But here's the thing about it. If you don't know some, that's why, listen, I'm not asking you to stick around for any other reason than to get to know people. Find out things. Ask people how they're doing, so on and so forth. You'd never know how much that can make a difference in somebody's life. You know what I'm saying? And it gives you a little bit, because all of us are going through something in this fiery trial that we're facing out there. Okay? All of us are going through something. And so he gets to 8 and he says, finally be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. Sunday's message isn't tough if you understand what you're called to do. That ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That's the fight. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Now, I can keep going, but watch this. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Come over to chapter 4. Keep that thought in mind. Keep that verse right there in mind. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? For as much, chapter 4, verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Where was I the other day, Mom? No, we were in Twinsburg and you were getting the drinks. And I carry. I just carry. I don't carry for my own purposes. I carry for yours. I want to make sure you're safe. That's why I carry. I'm not going to be a victim. And I'm going to walk into a situation, I'm going to make sure other people are, that's what we do. He told the disciples, Luke 22, hey, do you have a sword? We got two. Good. You're good. Go and sell your coat if you don't. Have another one. You know what that means? Arm yourself. That is a military term. Here's what he says. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. There is an arm for offense and there's an arm for defense. All right? Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That's why we arm ourselves. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of God, or the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of rioting or riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? We do this because we are on a mission. Coming back to this. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? God wants us to be there. We need to be in the law enforcement. We need to be in the hospitals. We need to be in politics. We need to have a seat at the table and a voice at the table so that we can push away evil. Fast forward, verse 12. Beloved, and I could read all of this and it makes better sense maybe. He said, beloved, think it not strange. Now, when you're going to do this, guess what's going to happen? Not only is it going to be fiery trials, he already said it, the trying of your faith is like gold. He said, now he gets over to here, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. You know how many times I see people get in church, they start serving the Lord, and then all of a sudden the attacks start. And then they go, I talked to somebody the other day, I said this. And the person said to me, man, it crumbled, it crushed me. I was speaking to that same person today. I've been here since 8 this morning, 9, 8, 30, somewhere around here. I've not left all day. That's all I've been doing. And I said to this person again, I said, where are you at with the Lord? Well, I was in a really bad place. And I asked him to help me, and he didn't. Think it not strange? He's there. He's always there. Job got to that place where he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I think sometimes we get in church, and all of a sudden some difficulties, financial, physical, whatever they may be. And here's what happens sometimes. Something happens, and you get out of church instead of get closer into church. That's the place you drop off the other stuff. Dig in. Sit on a pew. Camp here. Put a tent up. Think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Remember when he started out the chapter, he said this to these scattered strangers, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire. Come over to verse 12, chapter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. He said, but rejoice. Yeah, that's a difficult one. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You didn't give up. You didn't give in. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. He said, but let none of you suffer a murderer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. He says, if you're going to suffer, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? We should be examining ourselves. We should be expectant that there's going to be a battle. We should be understanding that there's going to be something that takes place. Then you come over to chapter 5. I'm getting there. Now Peter addresses him. He says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. That's what the pastor is doing. I'm an elder. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Joe mentioned something tonight. He's an ensample. The preacher, missionary. We're ordaining elders in every city. We're sending them out. He's an ensample. He sets an example. He's saying that tonight. Has there been difficulties with it? Have there been trials with it? He's been difficult this week with kidney stones. I mean, look at people that serve the Lord and watch the bullseye and the fiery darts that hit them. I mean, I've watched Tina and Jake go through Lydia and Jake's situation. They've had miscarriages. Other people have had miscarriages. Matt and Patty Miller that with Josh and Katie and other things. And then there's other people that just sit on the sidelines. They can't figure out what's going on. I'll tell you what, no, that stuff doesn't happen to me. It doesn't happen to you because you don't get in the battle. You don't ever get in a fight. You're not going to get a fired arrow thrown at you when you're back sipping whiskey in the bar somewhere. You're not on the battlefield. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Then he gets down, he starts giving these things, and then he says this is my focal point. Verse 8. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. He starts out by saying, thinking out strange. Pastor, you know how many times I've talked to people, Pastor, I don't know what's going on. I'm doing everything I can. It just seems like, and welcome to the club. Well, I have seen so many people start serving the Lord and then the darts start flying. It's coming, Douglas. It's coming. You got up here and you led music. You were in children's church. Put your big boy britches on. It's coming. That's why some don't want to. There was people at 9/11, which is right around the corner, that as soon as that took place, they signed up for military duty. They wanted to be involved in the battle. I sit in churches sometimes. I'm amazed at how many people don't want to be part of the battle. They want to be part of the planning for the battle, but they don't want to be a part of the battle. He said, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can I just wake everybody up tonight? And I've said this to parents. We have an adversary that is after your children. We have an adversary that's after your home. Because if he can get to you, sir, he can get to the rest of them. If he can get to that pastor, he can get to the congregation. And I think sometimes, I told the Timothy guys one time, I said, you guys are great on offense. Everybody ever seen a team? They're great offensively, and they're terrible defensively. So it just washes out because no matter how many touchdowns or scores or tries or whatever they make. And then all of a sudden what happens? The other team scores just as many. So there was a win-loss ratio that was zero. There was nothing. Nothing gained. Nothing lost. He says, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I have literally, as a pastor, watched the devil come in and devour people in this church. I've watched collateral damage. I've watched everything, ripple effect. I've watched everything because, and I said to the Timothy guys, you play good offense, but you don't know that there's an enemy. I told Jacob, how many times have I said to you, Jacob, you got 5 children, 6 on the way. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, Mom, I have already come. I've watched them. If you were here long enough, you watched them come after our family, the devil and his crowd. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the devil will use flesh and blood to get to flesh and blood. I'm thankful that my children are still in church. My children are married into church splits. Think it not strange? It's just what happens. It comes with the territory. I've told the Timothy guys, hey, if you, how do I say that? If you could get out now, get out. It's not, but here's the thing. There's a reward down the road. There's a, what do you say, a crown. When the chief shepherd shall appear, there you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. God said to Elijah, hey, I've still got, 700 that ain't bowed their knee to Baal? What is it? 7,000 that still have not bowed their knee to Baal? Elijah thought he was the only one out there. He said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. I shared a story with somebody recently, and I'll just share this. Some days I feel like I'm running for my life. And what do I mean by that? The Bible says that we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So I'm running. But it's not so much me running to Him as from Him. And what's happening with Him is He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom He may devour. I have sat on the side. I remember when we landed in Africa and we saw the lions. And it's not zoos over there. We see lions over there. And all of the adults around there, they weren't watching them. They had their eyes on Tina. She was the what? Smallest, the weakest. And so I don't want to share too much of a personal story, but there's a lot of times I literally feel like, and I experienced it the other day. Mom, I woke up in sweats and running for my life. I don't think we think about that enough. I don't think we understand we have an enemy. 5 young people just got baptized. 1 young man just gave his life to the Lord, whatever that may look like. Ellie came forward and gave her life to the Lord Sunday night in the midst of a message from Brother Matt while his family's fighting. I mean, with tears in his eyes, he said the consequences of this is eyesight and all different kinds of things. And we don't understand. That has to go through the hand of God. God said to Job, God said to the sons of God, have you considered my servant Job? And He limited that. I walked out of here, if you were here, and I stepped right into something. And I didn't leave the parking lot till what time? Mama said, are you finally going to go home or whatever it was? That happens. Think it not strange. It happens. But if you're not doing nothing, you're not prepared for it, it will take you and put you out of commission. I want to give you 4 thoughts on that. First, verse 8. I don't really have a title other than, hey, we have an enemy. First thing I preached when I came here, what did I preach on? Recognizing the enemy. You know why? Because I said we're going to get into deep waters, and in deep waters we're a battle. The devil doesn't want somebody to visit our church and get help. It takes a battle. Sometimes you got to get your feet dirty. You got to get your hands dirty to help people. I don't know if all of us want to do that. You will sit back and criticize those that have their hands in the battle, but you won't get in the battle. Verse 8, we see the exhortation concerning the enemy. Verse 8, here's the exhortation. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I wish I had the mindset to say, so-and-so, there's going to be, you know, a trouble. I wish I had the ability to see into the future. My family knows I struggle with kids in the front yard. My family knows I struggle with my grandkids. Why? Because I was in a home that my sister was killed. She was hit by a drunk driver and she was killed at a very young age. So what does that do? It haunts me. Can that happen? When Liddy was in the hospital, she's had her burnt skin, third-degree burns. She's been in the hospital, RSV, all different kinds of stuff. I remember when I was going through Bible college. And I came home from Bible college one night. The kids are sitting there. My dog had just been hit. They're all bawling, crying. And I grabbed the dog and took the dog to the vet clinic downtown Augusta, Georgia. And on the way there, there was things that were taken. I don't know what time of night it was when I came home and dropped the dog off. I think before I stayed up that night, waited for the phone call, paid $600. You got to pay for, you know, dogs to get operated on ahead of, because they know you're not going to pay them once you lose a dog. And then they called. The dog had a massive heart attack. And we lost our dog. That same time, Josh was in an oxygen tent at the house with RSV, struggling for his life. The devil whispered in my ear, and he says, I can have him whenever I want him. And then I've watched in recent days the devil just come after somebody that has preached to more people than I ever had in one setting. What am I trying to say? I don't know if we realize sometimes the exhortation, be sober, be vigilant. Does it ever notice just before family conference? and just after family conference? Because the devil doesn't want us to be families, doesn't want us to get help, doesn't want us to understand the structure. There's an exhortation regarding the enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Could you imagine if you had a target on your back today and he had singled you out and you just act like nothing's going on? Number two, not only the exhortation regarding the enemy, the explanation regarding the enemy. Verse 9, what's the explanation regarding the enemy? Whom resists steadfast in the flesh. That's not what it says. Whom resists steadfast what? In the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That's why it's important for mentors. That's why it's important for, I told Alicia and Douglas, I don't know if anybody else falls into this criteria. I said, thank you to Alicia and Douglas the last time we were in a counseling session. I said, you're showing these girls that it can be done in spite of all the obstacles. You don't think there's been fiery darts that have been tossed at Alicia? You don't think there's been fiery darts that have been tossed at Douglas? There's an exhortation regarding the enemy. Be sober, be vigilant. But there's an explanation regarding the enemy. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. Some of us think we can get by with never reading that book. Some of us get... I said to somebody, did I say to you, Mike and Emily, today? I said, I don't know what it looks like when I'm done pastoring. Because you'll never realize how much I stay in this book for you. For you. I fight for you sometimes when you won't fight for your own self. I'm fighting for you sometimes when you won't even fight for your family. I'm fighting for some of your children sometimes when you can't put your phone down. The explanation. He said this, what did he say? Whom resists steadfast in the faith? Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not in this alone. Other people are going through it. I was just... Who was it I was talking to the other day? I said, every time I reach out to get somebody to help minister to me, you know what, Joe? What, I sit down at a table, I call somebody, I talk to them before long, guess what happens? The script's flipped. I'm sitting there saying, no, man, I had a guy reach out. I've nonstop. And maybe I said to Brother O'Malley the other day, you said the 60s are your most profitable. Maybe my profitability is just being able to understand and talk to people in their darkness and help them get out. Because I know what darkness looks like. And I got out. And I can stand on the sidelines and cheer somebody. The last 3 years of my life have been the darkest of my life. If I could, two floods, in that middle of the flood, Gene, Libby, my family, finances, everything under the sun, still come to the pulpit, still hold my corner, still step up to the plate. Why? Because I want you, Sam, you had cancer. Emily, you had cancer. I mean, Miss Terry, your trial of your faith, other people are watching, because when they get in theirs and they can't navigate it, and then some stub their toe and you don't see them. Thinking not strange, people don't understand, people's not reaching out to me, nobody sympathizes with me. That's the devil. The exhortation regarding the enemy, the explanation regarding the enemy. Verse 10, the expectation regarding the enemy. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. This don't feel good, God. No, it doesn't. I said to that young man the other day when I was talking to him, he said, I asked for help, and he didn't help me. And I said, you've been an eyewitness of my life. And I said, I asked for help, and he helped me. I said, because I realize it's going to take some suffering for a while. After that, you suffer. What's the next? After that, you suffer. What verse was I on? Huh? Verse 10? What does it say? After that ye have what? Suffered a while. May establish you, strengthen you, settle you. Right? Make you perfect. Some people will never get to that place. Perfect does not mean sinless. We're not talking about sinless perfection. We're just talking to a place. He's equipped. He can do this. He understands this. He understands what's taking place. He understands he's going to get a fat lip. He understands there's going to be some attacks. It's you know, Sam, I laughed. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean to hurt you when I said that. But I just laughed because God is a God of miracle. And if you apply yourself to the principles, you get the promises. But you know what? Sometimes when God's getting ready to do something, you don't stick around long enough for Him to do it. The expectation, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while. Paul said this, that I may know Him. Paul wanted to know Him. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what it's going to take to know me, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to suffer. And that is, can I just say this? Embrace it. That's the Christian life. Suffering. I don't know what the suffering may be. How many hymns? I think it's been said that Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns. She was asked, I believe she had some kind of condition as a child, if my memory serves me right. A nursemaid put poultices, am I right? Poultices on her eyes, which caused the blindness, which got to a place where now, and then she turned lemons into lemonade. And she wrote 8,000 plus hymns. And she was asked one time if she could have her sight back. I wouldn't want it. I would have never known the depths of the love of Christ that I know now. Listen, it's no mystery. I'm transparent. Jean and Libby's situation was the most difficult situation. There were some days I didn't know if I was going to get out of bed. And I got out of bed. And I said, God, really? He doesn't tell us when He shows up. He's waiting to see if we're wanting Him to show up. And I just keep waiting for Him. And you know what that did to me? As difficult as it was, it drew me to a closer relationship with Him. Can I just say this? If you don't embrace suffering, you will never know the closeness of how He can be. You will never know the sufficiency of God's grace until you suffer drastically. And it's painful sometimes. Even the Lord Jesus Christ asked this question on the cross. Eli, Eli, sabachthani. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why, God? Because He suffered at that moment. That was humanity screaming out, why? It's not wrong to say why, but stick around long enough to hear the answer. The exhortation regarding the enemy, the explanation regarding the enemy, the expectation regarding the enemy, which gets you to verse 11. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm not shooting at anybody when I say this. We do not have testimony services here. I don't know what it is. And if I even closely say the comparison, somebody's going to get offended. We do not, testimony services are this. To Him be glory. Not I had a flat tire and somebody stopped on the side of the road and helped me. Everybody has those. I mean, honestly, everybody has those. Those places where God shows up and shows out. And we can't transfer His glory that He deserves on somebody that just stopped by as a passerby to change a tire. He's the God. We glorify God at the crossing of the Red Sea because nobody else could do that. And Mark, I said it to you pastorally, and I said it about Tina one time. This is one dad that when my kids are hurting, does anybody else feel that way? When mine are hurting and they're in need, you know what I want to do? I want to show up. But you know what showing up will do too many times? Spoil them and then expect it. In the natural sense, I show up in the spiritual sense too much, and then I'm God. And I get the glory and I rob Him of His glory. In this situation, what's the exaltation? I don't know what Peter went through so many things. I don't know what yours is that you're going through. But He's trying to refine you. What do they call those? Smelters? Is that what they are? And they melt stuff? It's called a smelter? smelter, and then they melt stuff. And then what rises to the top? The dross. There's a lot of us that got dross, and we've embraced it. God, don't take this away. I have to take this away. I'm trying to conform you into my image. Nope. I've grown comfortable to this. This is who I am. It defines me. I'll be honest with you. Some of you ain't changed since I've been here. You just hold on to that dross. You don't want nothing to do. You don't get in a fight. You don't get in a battle. You sit back and you critique everybody else. I could do it better. Well, then grab the keys. I could do it faster. I could do it whatever. Grab the keys. I'd rather somebody sink at sea than rust at the dock. And there's a lot of people in church that rust at the dock. And what you miss out on rusting at the dock is the exaltation. Look at Job at the tail end of that story. I tell you what, even Miss Job got her hands full with that. Miss Job had 20 kids. That'll teach you, Mom, to say, curse God and die. And everything that Job lost, he got back again. And he rumbled and he grumbled, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Job learned a valuable lesson, and God put it in the canon of Scripture for us. I don't know what your situation is, but you have to be smarter than that. I've told Jacob, I've told Mike, I've told Jacob, I've told Joe. Offense is great. These guys get up here and they preach amazing. Is that not Jim? Mike, or Mike, your husband's name's Matt, right? Matt. Amazing messages. And maybe people think I'm fluffing him up. 28. I've known men in the ministry for 30 years couldn't articulate the Lord's Supper like he did. And invited everybody, all-encompassing, voice inflection, everything to it. Now, defense, absolutely sideswap sometimes, right? Just don't even see it coming. And you mentors in here could help that. But you're not mentoring. Glenn Mundy helped me. As an 82-year-old man, and I'm a 27-year-old man with three children, helped me navigate the fiery trials. I think we need to sober up. Paul said it was in Corinthians, no, Romans, early chapter 5. He said, awake to righteousness. That verse of Scripture is absolutely just, every time I get on my mower, awake to righteousness and sin not. Why? He said, for some have not the knowledge of God. And guess what? I speak that to your shame. People are watching you. I've had people this week, the last month, the last year reach out to me. Simple little posts where I'll put highlight one of my grandkids as my social media profile. I just want to tell you how much you inspire me. You really love your family, don't you? I said, yeah, I watch you on social media. You can take somebody else on social media and they just, it's confusing. I watch some that within the same week can be posting something nasty and then posting scripture verses. I want Wesley to see my papa. He was a man of faith. Last illustration, I'm done. I was driving down the road the other day, Wesley and I. And I got about halfway down the road in my pickup truck, and I looked over, and he was in the front seat. And I panicked. I believe in autonomy. That means their homes, they teach the rules. I support them and reinforce them. Front seat, 8 years of age, 40 pounds maybe, soaking wet. I said, what are you doing in the front seat? No, Papa, I can sit in the front seat. Yeah, you told me a lot of things you can do. And then I verify it with Mom and Dad, and they say, no, I'm getting somewhere. I took a picture. Trust, right, Mike? Trust but what? Trust but verify. Because if not, guess what happens? I'm in trouble. This is why he won't be coming over anymore, because you won't follow our rules. I remember I spanked Mia and Ella, or Mia and Avalyn are the only two I've ever spanked. And I spanked Mia, but I called Mom and Dad and told them. I said, I don't want her coming home and grandiose, and the Papa drugged me all over the house, and he threw me up against the wall, and it was the most tragic thing in my life. So I texted. She said, no, it's okay. And then he got quiet, and he said a few words to me, and this is what happened. I just started bawling. And I had a flashback. 50-some years. I sat in the front seat of my grandpa's. I mean, they had boats back then, didn't they? I can't remember what that thing was. He was so influential in my life, and then he was taken out of my life. Fast forward, and I said, now I'm that to him. And he can't see me fail. He can't see me falter. And he can't see me make a fool out of myself. Some of y'all need to get in the battle. You're good Monday morning quarterbacks, but you don't get in the battle. I don't know if it's you're afraid of the enemy, you're afraid of the process, or whatever it is you're afraid of. Matt, you'll never know what that message did for me the other night. In the midst of the battle. So what's the point? We have an enemy. And he is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And some, you know what? What was that unexplained show we watched the other day? There is a tribe of people in Africa that they've lived amongst lions. I thought this was absolutely ridiculous. Footage of them living amongst lions, and they have this call they've been doing, and they pass it on generation after generation after generation, that when they make that call, the lions come into their, whatever you call it, village, and eat the animals that are coming in there. Has anybody else seen that? You've seen that. And they're showing pictures, and I'm thinking, no. They're wild. Sooner or later, they're going to have a need for something else. And that's how some of us in this church live. We're absolutely ignorant that we have an enemy against us, and we don't put up any kind of protection. I got this. I can do this. Yeah, how many people said that were sitting on a pew at one time? Father, we'd ask you to help us. Help us to understand we have an enemy, but help us to understand we have somebody else that can help us, that tries us, and we can't be sidetracked by it. I'm thankful today I'm in one piece, and it's not because of me. It's because he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, I desperately wish our young people could learn that lesson, not just from their pastor, but from parents and other people. Help us to be sober, to be vigilant, understanding we have an adversary. Recognize that we have an enemy. We've fallen asleep sometimes and don't realize it. And people watch us, and they need to see an example. Victory. They need to see victory in our lives. Rahab is in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ because she saw the victory in Joshua and Caleb. Help us, I plead, Lord. I don't know where anybody is tonight. I just know where I'm at. And I need to understand that I have somebody that is walking about that will do everything they can to destroy me. And I shouldn't think it strange. But I should sober up and be vigilant. Let that be all of our pleas tonight. For our young people, for our young ladies, for our young men, for our elderly, for everybody. I plead tonight, help us, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Let's all stand to our feet.